It's time for Tupelo Tom and Big Lou Talking. And now, here's Tupelo Tom and Big Lou.
I'm Tupelo Tom.
And I'm Big Lou.
And we're talking.
Oh. And that feels good to say that again.
We, you know, I say it sometimes by myself, but it just lays there after I say my line. There's nobody to do your line. But it's great to be back, everybody. We got the band back together.
It is. We, Alex had heard some people were concerned. This is great, saying that people were concerned that maybe something had happened and we weren't going to do the podcast. We love doing this podcast. It just so happens we've all been really, really busy. You know how the holidays are. And I think, Tom, we talked about moving forward. We may not have as many podcasts. We're going to focus on the quality over quantity. And since everybody is so busy, but yeah, it is fantastic. It's 2025.
Yes, it's a brand new year. And you had an interesting, to talk about the podcast just for a second, you had an interesting thing that you did because you were recently in Tupelo.
Yes.
And drove back to Norman from Tupelo, and you went back and started listening to our podcast.
I did. It's weird to listen to yourself. I try to just, the moment was there and I leave it alone. And I had to take a U-Haul back. It was about an 8.5-9 hour drive. And I started literally from our first trailer over a year ago. Isn't that hard to believe?
Wow.
And I listened to every one of our podcasts in a row. And by the time I pulled into my driveway here in Norman, Oklahoma, we were just about to interview our first interview, and that was Jerry Schilling.
Mm-hmm.
So I was surprised, elated. You know, you forget about what's in the podcast, you know, and I loved it. I loved it, and it kept me awake, and it was funny and engaging. And I tell you, Tom, I was proud of it. And the job that Alex has done editing this stuff is miraculous. So it was a great listen, and I learned a few things, and now next step is to listen from Jerry Schilling on.
Well, it's one of those things that I'm like you. I have a hard time listening to myself. I have to get far enough away from it so I'm not thinking of what I could have said instead of what I didn't say, that kind of stuff. And I just remember in our trailer, we talked about there were three different kinds of podcasts that we listened to. That was true crime, but we didn't want to kill anybody.
Yep.
That was politics, and I don't talk about that with anybody. And there was cooking, and we said we were going to start an eating category, but we didn't know anything about cooking either.
Yeah.
But I still I need to listen to ours. And the thing is so cool is over the last year or so, there have been so many young people coming into the podcast game in all subjects, but especially in the Elvis world. I'm very excited that there's so many young people with their own spin, their own angle of how to tell Elvis's story. And they seem to be having a great time doing it, and they're smart, and they're, I'm just very happy that they're all in there staking out their own area to talk about.
And what's fantastic is we all get along and we all love Elvis, and we're all rooting for the other one, you know? And,
well, we are, I don't know about them.
I don't know about them. Alex, you were on one recently. Why don't you tell us about that?
I went on with the Pink Cadillacs, Victory and Sky, and we had a great time. We talked about, you know, my career up to this point, getting to the Ultimate, trying to get that title, and also just the whole Elvis podcast game in general. And, you know, they love what we do. We love what they do. And speaking about what you said, I think it's great. They're telling Elvis's story, but they're also not scared to learn along the way. And right. I love that. And they have built a huge community around their podcast of young people, mostly girls, but you know, I'm in there too.
I'm a fan as well.
Yep. And they built a huge community. I don't know if you guys see on Facebook when they have the meetups at the guest house, but they literally fill the lobby and people in there. They're swapping friendship bracelets and Elvis memorabilia. And it seems
great
like
idea.
What I used to hear about like 20 years ago at Elvis Week and stuff like that. So it's really cool.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll all of us will get together and have a special episode. And that would be great. Could you imagine an Elvis podcast meetup
crossover
for us
episode.
And the Pink Cadillacs? That'd be great.
We need to do it like the time that Murder, She Wrote was on Magnum PI. That kind of that, like crossover episodes.
And the pink Cadillacs just said, "What? He wrote what?"
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's, you know, that's. But hey, we got our we claimed out our area, and it's Ironside and anything newer than Ironside. So we own that category. And we'll put a pause in right there so people can go Google Ironside to see what it is I'm talking about. But yeah, we're back, and we like we said, we took a little break, and things came up end of the year. And I'm in the year of transition for myself. I'm just trying to decide when I'm going to step back from radio, not from the Elvis world, from right. My 42-year career in radio. Because I'm looking at the retirement happening sometime in the year 2025. So we'll see when that happens. And that'll give me more time, to watch Ironside. But it'll also give me more time to think about what we can do in the Elvis world too.
And what's cool is I think if I keep going at the pace I'm going financially, I should be able to retire at least by 2117.
2117? Yeah.
Yeah. Or okay. No, what is it? What year are we in? Yeah. Yeah, that's about right.
The old joke is I've got enough money to last me the rest of my life, provided I die by Tuesday.
That's so, right. Yeah. Well, I talked about this on Facebook a little bit, a great documentary about Las Vegas. I think it's called The Creating Sin City or something like that. And, of course, Elvis was a massive part of it, even dating back to when he appeared in the 50s with Liberace, correct? And mm-hmm. at the Frontier. And it was so cool. We know the story. We've heard it a million times. But to have a whole non-our community group talk about it was so cool. But the neatest part, they were talking to different casino owners, and they said when Elvis came to town, the entire city was different. Mm-hmm. For those few weeks, the entire city was raised up mm-hmm. and electric. And they said there was nothing like when Elvis came to town, even if you didn't go to the show, the entire city lit up. But the coolest part was, and I think I sent you a text about this, Tom, it almost made me emotional to see Jerry Schilling interviewed. Mm-hmm. And to think, I can't believe I know that guy because of Elvis, because of you, because of the Elvis world. I know Jerry Schilling. And, of course, he was fantastic in his interview. And at the end, they were talking about who's the most electric performer, you know, mm-hmm. that you ever saw in Vegas. And, you know, a lady brought up Luther Vandross. Somebody brought up Celine Dion or something. And then I was sitting there going, oh, come on, it's got to be Elvis. And sure enough, after about two or three, everybody, oh, Elvis Presley. And, you know, Jerry Schilling said there was nothing like the electricity of an Elvis Presley show.
And I will tell you guys, too, because I know he's not on social media. I talked to Jerry right around Elvis's birthday when all the fires really started happening in California. And he and Cindy were up there in the Hollywood Hills in the house Elvis bought for him back in 1970. And they were not close to the fires, but they were in the evacuation area of standing by. You may need to evacuate. So wow. They had the car packed up and were ready to leave quickly if they had to. But they're fine. And I spoke with Linda Thompson, who lives in Malibu, and she's fine and her family. So the people that I knew, I was kind of checking in on. And I got a couple of other friends back in the 90s when I lived in Los Angeles. I had a TV show I was on for TNT called Rough Cut. And we had a camera photographer and his company were our shooters for everything. And I've been in touch with him over the years because he and I just got along really well. The relationship in a cameraman and an on-air talent is very important with how you present yourself, you know, on camera, because they look out for you a lot, camera guys do. And he just posted right around the 8th or so of January that he had lost his house.
Oh,
so, so I do know a lot of people that been since then that have been impacted by this. And I look at that video of the flyovers of the area, and I don't know how long it's going to take to, you know, I know where Jerry lives in the Hollywood Hills. They have to coordinate when houses do yard service, because the streets are so narrow that if this house is having a yard service, a lot of people can't get by. Like if another yard service wants to go up the hill past that first house with the yard service, they can't get their machines and trailers around it. So they work to coordinate, you know, what day they're going to be in with doing yard service. And I can't imagine coordinating with builders and plumbers and landscapers and all the people that are going to have to come into California, to do all that. So our thoughts and prayers and hearts and everything go to those people out there.
As still with the people in North Carolina, you know, is still a disaster. And, you know, everybody tries to politicize everything. Unfortunately, I'm so glad the election's over with. And it reminded me of one of the many reasons I love, no matter who you voted for or what you think of anybody, I love about the Elvis world. We don't have Democrat Elvises and Republican Elvis fans. Everybody's an Elvis fan. Now you have your non-ETA fans and your ETA fans. And if the non-ETA fans would just go see an ETA, I think they would love it. But that was one thing Jerry talked about in that documentary. They were bringing up, they were calling, you know, ETAs impersonators. And Jerry said, listen, like Elvis said, it's, you know, imitation is the biggest form of flattery. And he said, he goes, Elvis would love it. He'd be honored that people still love his music that much. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one of the things that brings people together. And like you always say, I think the best argument is if you haven't, you know, if go see one, if you don't like it, that's fine, but don't speak to it. It's kind of like my, you know, dad did to me with Brussels sprouts. Like, I don't like Brussels sprouts. Have you ever tried them? No, sir. Try them. And I tried them and I hated them. He goes, okay, now you legitimately don't like it. Okay.
Right.
He said, before you just didn't like the concept of a Brussels sprout, but now you truly don't like it. So
Tom, I've kind of just been, you know, we've had a lot of festivals. I had my Helen Festival, Jeff Lewis and Friends, which was great. So much. It was my favorite one by far. And then it was the first time I've been to Helen where, you know, I was 115 pounds less than the last time I was there. I felt great. My voice felt great. I was healthy, able to walk around, and I just enjoyed it so much more. And the guys, of course, were great. You were great. Jesse did a wonderful job with the daytime shows.
Oh, yeah.
We'd switch some things up to make it different. And it was so cool how many people were there that were younger.
Yeah.
And they knew every lyric and they were just having a blast. And I got to know some girls. It was their first time in Helen and they were so much fun and they really brought an energy to it. And it was great to see at one point during the daytime shows, ages probably 18 to 70. And they're all just all the women are standing by each other and just dancing and singing together. It was, gosh, just Elvis doing it again for us. And then, of course, we had the great festival in St. Simon's. You were there. That was your first one. That was a wonderful time. And then I believe you just got back from Memphis. Tell us a little bit about that.
I was at Elvis' birthday, the 90th birthday, and had a great time. There was one little bit of news we got going into the weekend that Pat Dunne had been involved in an accident and had been injured, and he's on the repair. So we're thinking about him and praying for him, and just a great guy. He and I have a great love of theater, and we have this wonderful, nobody can give it to you like another theater person when you're on stage, you know? And so he and I have a lot of fun. And I think we did Dueling Shakespeare's one year at Jeff Lewis Festival in Helen, because every actor has to have memorized at least one Shakespeare monologue, and he did his and I did mine. So we had dueling Shakespeare monologues. But yeah, Elvis' birthday is what I love about Elvis' birthday, and I've done it for years now, hosting events. It's the smaller version of Elvis Week with fewer people and events that are just really kind of nicely organized with that in mind, because a lot of things happen in the theater there at the hotel. And if you can stay at the hotel, it's kind of like we talk about, it's like a cruise vacation. You're kind of all in the same building together, and never, you don't have to leave. And, so it's just a lot of fun. We had, Andy Childs was across the street at the big stage with some shows. Richard Sturban from the Oak Ridge Boys was there and performed, and Larry Gatlin, was there and performed, and Estelle Brown, was there. And, we had conversations. I had Estelle on stage and had a lot of. Oh, Bill Superfoot Wallace was there, the martial arts guy from the 70s that worked with Elvis on The Last Gladiators, the movie that they were working on, documentary they were working on together. And just a lot of great stories. I got to interview for Video Archives for Graceland, Larry Gatlin, who had wonderful stories about his songs he wrote for Elvis, Bitter They Are, and Help Me. And it's just amazing the impact that they still have talking about Elvis and what he did for them when they were younger, and also Richard Sturban, who was a member of the Stamps. And he really told the story about he had just gotten the opportunity to join the Stamps. He'd always wanted to be with the Stamps. And within a year of being with Elvis, he got an offer to go to the Oak Ridge Boys. And wow. He said, I was at that crossroads. Like, I could sing on stage with Elvis. I've been doing it for a year. I always wanted this, to stand next to J.D. Sumner. But I've got an opportunity to go with this gospel band over here, this gospel group that's going to be breaking away, and they're going to try to do, you know, pop country music. And he ended up going with, and it was a pretty good choice.
Yeah.
Being a member of the, and he talked about the honor of being in the Country Music Hall of Fame and having the Oak Ridge Boys plaque just across. He says, you can stand at the Oak Ridge Boys and see Elvis's plaque. And he goes, we're still in that, we're in the same business, but we never thought we'd be in the same room together like that.
Yeah.
He's honored by that. So I love talking to those guys. I grew up listening to the Oaks. I'm a huge Oak Ridge Boys fan. And Larry Gatlin and I got along really well because we know all these old Grand Ole Opry jokes from Little Jimmy Dickens. So we had fun doing that. And then I came back from Elvis' birthday and got some kind of cold that's going around. And I think I'm on my second or third week of having that. Oh. So I don't know how I sound out there, but to me, I sound like I'm in a hole somewhere.
Well, you kind of are probably, speaking of Richard Sturban, I think one great thing about having a cold is you boom, bop, about, you know, you can do that. It's a lot easier. But
that's true.
He's definitely, his voice is a part of one of the most famous country records of all time, Elvira. Yeah. And then Larry Gatlin, don't even get me started on him. He is top. You know, you got Elvis. You know, I've talked about some of the gospel guys, but Larry Gatlin is certainly my top five, if not my top three. Not if you just take his songwriting alone.
Yeah.
And but his voice is just, oh my gosh. I mean, Done Enough Dying Today and all those great songs, of course, all the Golden California. But I got to talk to him on the phone one time. I remember he said, you know, Ray Price told me one time that when you're my age, you got to use the bathroom. You already did. But he's just such a great writer and talent. And, I believe we have a little bit of some audio that you picked up, some cool audio.
It's interesting. I wanted to also hit on in talking to Larry Gatlin, he started talking about we were talking about Elvis and his love of gospel music. And that is something that the Gatlin brothers all grew up in the church in Texas. And they have a part in their I said, do you still do the thing in your show where you challenge the audience? And he says, oh, yeah, we still do that. And any obscure gospel song from any hymnal or any gospel quartet song, name the song and one of the three Gatlins will know it.
Golly, that is cool.
And he said, we've hardly ever been stumped. He said, we just grew up in that music. And I said, well, Elvis would love to hang out with the Gatlins and sing gospel music. So
right.
he was a lot of fun to talk about. And while I was there, the word came out that Baz Luhrmann, the director of the Elvis film, had been hanging around Graceland earlier in December. And Angie didn't give me a lot of details, you know. And I thought, oh, well, this will be something. Maybe I kept it on the DL, on the down low. Didn't say anything.
The Pink Cadillacs would say, the DL, the kids.
But notice I said down low. So for the people that don't know what that means, I still have to let them know because I just read that on my notes here to try to be hip. Do we still say hip, Alex? Do we try to be hip? I do. I think we still say hip.
We say that, but I also heard it's hip to be square. So I'm not sure.
Well, Huey Lewis said that.
Oh, okay. Hey, I trust him.
Do kids still say awesome? Is awesome still a thing, or is that more like groovy now?
As long as John Denver is still played on the radio, I'll still use awesome.
All right.
Awesome. So anyway, the other day, a lot of people that follow Baz Luhrmann, the Elvis director, on social media were gifted with some teaser videos, but then at one point – Baz himself appeared, and Alex, I'm gonna play this, and Alex will mix it and make it sound really good. But you can find it on Baz Luhrmann's social media pages to see him. He's on camera in front of Graceland. So when you hear him say, you know, you can see where I am. So this is Baz and his message to the Elvis fans about what he's been working on the last little while.
And action. You know where we are. I am thrilled to be back in Graceland and to be able to say that it's true. It's very, very true. I can't even begin to tell you what we had found during the making of Elvis in terms of never before seen concert footage. And our sleeves are rolled up. We are working hard and we want to make something absolutely unprecedented and special with this material. So it's time, as we like to say, to TCB. Cut.
There he is. That's there he is. That's Baz with his little announcement, you know, of some on tour footage and some the way it is footage and some footage they found in the archives.
Tom, you know, it's, he's like the Steve Bender of our time.
Yeah.
What Steve did for Elvis in 68, he's doing today.
Yeah.
Or has already done.
What I love about it is he went into the Elvis world so deep in preparation for working on the film, and even had an extra year to kind of do it with COVID hitting like it was, and really delve into the archives and the culture of Elvis, became a fan, and when the film was over, was unwilling to leave Elvis's world. I mean, he could have the movie had Oscar nominations. He could have made another big, huge movie in the last year but he wanted to do more, something else with Elvis. And he's still absorbed. I'm sure he's working on other projects, but he's still devoting time to going to Graceland, to going through the archives, to come up with something else for the fans who were so thrilled by his movie with Austin Butler and everybody.
I mean, Elvis, and this, you know, I sound like a broken record, but, you know, obviously there's never going to be another entertainer like him. There's so many factors involved. Elvis, you know, biggest star in the 50s, goes to the military, even though his records are still on the charts. He makes a comeback. Now he's the biggest movie star in Hollywood. And then he makes a comeback again and gets back on television. Then he goes to Vegas. And now he's coming back and performing again. Mm-hmm. And he's doing all these. And then when A Little Less Conversation comes out. So that song makes a comeback. It's on network television on that Vegas show. Then he comes back again with the Cirque du Soleil. Then he comes back again with this film. Now we're getting another documentary. It's just incredible how Elvis is going to be here forever. And, you know, we talked about the young people in Helen. We got a great interview coming up. This will kind of lead into it probably. The young people that are performing as Elvis, that are tribute artists, that are 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, early 20s, and they're phenomenal talents. And I'm learning stuff about Elvis I didn't know from Finley and these other great mm-hmm. young artists, and it's exciting.
Yeah. Well, I think that is a great intro into our guest today on the program. It was last March of 2024 where he became the Nashville Elvis Festival champion. Hails from the UK, and then a few short months later competed in the Ultimate in Nashville. I mean, and then competed at the Ultimate in Memphis representing Nashville, and became the Ultimate champion. Yeah. And it was an opportunity for Brian and myself to realize, like, hey, after doing this festival 7 years, we finally got a guy. You know, we've had some incredible Nashville champions, guys I'm incredibly proud of. And one of our guys made it. One of our guys became the Ultimate. And just what a wonderful representative of Elvis. And to meet a guy like this who is, you know, someone that rivals us, Jeff, with good looks and sex yes. appeal on stage.
Almost, yeah.
I mean, I you know, he's got some, he needs to.
For a kid.
Know, you know, he's going to work on it.
He doesn't have the distinguished regal nature of our looks.
Is that what that is?
I think so.
I'll take that. He can't grow a gray beard like me, though, can he? I don't think so. But this guy has just been, what a wonderful guy. The last couple of years, and for Summerfest, for Cody Daneth's Summerfest down in Florida, in Inverness, a lot of the guys, you know, we room in houses for a couple of years. Jeff, you and I were rooming together in a house mm-hmm. and had a pool and, you know, no big deal. Everybody in Florida has a pool. but the last couple of years, they put me in the house with Ben and Rianne and Emilio with the Brits, who I found out as a culture, they're not big into napkins. So I had to break them of that. I was always handing out napkins to these people. It was just like, come on, use a napkin for God's sakes. I understand the ice thing, but what is it with napkins? But Emilio Santoro, the Ultimate champion. And it's tough to get on this guy's schedule. And we coordinated an interview and a time for the interview. And then at the last minute, I had something come up and I couldn't do it. And that's where any member of our team can step forward. And you guys did it, Alex and Big Lou.
I did my best Tom Brown impression I could.
What would Tom do?
Yeah. Well, here we go. Let's bring him on, Mr.
I
Emilio
can't wait to
Santoro.
Hear it.
It's great.
Emilio Santoro, the ultimate of 2024.
We have a special guest, ladies and gentlemen, the 2024 Ultimate Elvis Tribute Artist Champion, Emilio Santoro. Emilio, how you doing? All the way from England.
Emilio Blue Moon Santoro, and I'm talking. There you go. How are you all doing? Merry Christmas, everyone.
Oh, Merry Christmas, man. We're also, of course, joined with Alex Mitchell, our wonderful producer, and I just noticed the title he has under his name. I won't say it, but it's very, very funny. It's great. We do this in kind of it's Riverside's the format we use, but we can see each other, and eventually we may get some video and stuff going on Tiki Tac or whatever it's called. But we can see each other. We have a lot. I wish you guys could be on our end of this because it's very fun. But we just got back from St. Simon's Island in Georgia, which was a lot of fun. We had a great festival with ETA Festivals, Cody Downath, and the whole team. Great shows. Emilio was there with us, and we just had so much fun. I got to go see some places where they shot The Longest Yard and Forrest Gump. That was a lot of fun. But great crowds, as always, packed houses. The entertainers were great. The band Infinity, they're phenomenal, of course. Tupelo Tom was with us and emceeing and doing a great job as always, but it was just a wonderful time. And it's always great to when Emilio can make it over. And we had just finished our Helen, Jeff Lewis and Friends Festival in Helen, Georgia, and Emilio was there for the first time. Emilio, tell us a little bit about that. What'd you think of it?
Well, like you said, it was my first time in Helen, and growing up in the Elvis world back at home, I've always watched the Facebook Live videos of the Helen Jeff Lewis Festival. And to be there in person, it was so amazing. And I've heard so many stories from Ben Thompson where he's saying that this is the place you want to be a part of. And once I was there, it just felt like a massive, massive family. And just to be a part of that, it was just so much fun. It was just the most relaxed festival I've always been involved in. But then still so respectful to paying tribute to Elvis Presley, but just with such a fun element. It was something like I've never experienced before, and I can't wait to be back next year.
That's great, man. Well, I can't wait to have you back. And I always talk about Helen's kind of like the end of the year lake house trip the family takes.
Yeah, for sure.
And so I love telling this story about you when you won the Ultimate, and we're going to get into that deeper here in a little bit, but when you came out for that last song and you sang Blue Moon, I texted Jeannie and I said, oh my God, what is he thinking? What a horrible decision. And somehow you took probably my most unfavorite Elvis song is probably Blue Moon. And then there's a 70s one I'll think of here in a minute. Anyway, we'll get back to it. And you turned it into this brilliant, literally masterpiece. You moved once during the whole song, and I couldn't take my eyes off of you. Vocally, you had an energy about you. What made you choose that song?
So I'm sure a few of the listeners would have heard the story that I was actually supposed to be, well, I was planning on picking If I Can Dream. So I've got a whole story behind that where I actually had my If I Can Dream suit ready and I had it steamed, and I didn't actually have a spare costume just in case I didn't get If I Can Dream if I made the top five at this point, because I was still in the top 10 at this point. I didn't know if I was making the top five. So then I then remembered a few minutes before going on to sing my top 10 songs, I don't have anything spare if I don't get If I Can Dream. What if I don't get If I Can Dream? So literally 5 minutes before the top 10 started, my mum ran back to the house, got me my costume as a spare just in case. But I was so sure I was going to get If I Can Dream, because looking at the lineup, none of the other guys, it was either 70s or 50s guys. So I then come off stage and I didn't get If I Can Dream because Moses Snow picked If I Can Dream before me, and he did a great job of it as well. But
Oh my goodness.
So then I've gone on stage then, and I was, to be honest, I was panicking because I was so set on If I Can Dream. But luckily, Ben Thompson, my good friend Ben, was backstage, and he slapped me back into place, and he sort of said that it doesn't matter what you're singing, just go up there and do your thing. And for some reason, I don't know what made me choose Blue Moon as my second option. It's just one that I've always felt confident singing, and I felt like it's so powerful. Just like in the other rounds, I've done all the dancing, I've done all of that sort of show that side of my Elvis tribute, but I just wanted to do something where I was just standing in the middle and people could just listen to my voice. And hopefully it was going to work. And it was nerve-wracking because it was so different to what anyone else has ever done before. But I think luckily, when I was in the moment, I just felt the room go silent. And when you're an entertainer, I'm sure Alex will back me, when you're an entertainer and you're singing on the stage as an Elvis, you get a buzz doing all the dancing and everything. But sometimes when you just strip it back and just stand there in the middle and just sing, and people, you can just tell people are listening to you, it's just no better feeling than that.
It's funny because, you know, I was an Elvis tribute artist for a short time, and I got into it. You know, I was in Nashville and singing and all that. I got into it because I thought, well, this will be cool. I'll do it for a year and write a book about it. And if you'd have told me that, you know, a decade later, this would be how I'm making my living in the Elvis world, I said you were crazy. But luckily, yeah, I did not dance ever, so I don't know what that feeling's like. I just stood there and sang. Fairy Tale is the other song I don't like. Those are two songs, Fairy Tale and Blue Moon.
Right.
And so it was so powerful. The audience was just dead silent. You had them in the palm of your hand. And I was rooting for you to win big time, and I think you won the audience over. And you know, we had you in, I think, Summerfest in Illinois, both, I think, to our festival. So we were rooting for you, obviously, because you're such a great guy. And I won't say the name, but I will say I was talking to somebody very special in the Elvis world. I'll say that. And it was before the finals, and we were talking about who we thought was doing the best, and I didn't say anything, and this person brought your name up,
right,
and said, you know, I think he was really great. And the first thing I said, since this person opened the door up, I said, well, I'll tell you what else, he'd also be a fantastic representative of our business and our world, and you've proven to be that. I mean, besides the women being in love with you, you're such a great guy and so funny. And I don't think a lot of people realize that about Emilio. He's hilarious and not always G-rated, which is even funnier. But so tell us a little bit about your history with Elvis. When did you first get into him? How old were you? When did you first discover this guy that has made our lives so much better?
Yeah, so I was lucky enough to discover Elvis at a very young age. Obviously, I'm only 22 now, but I was 4 years old, and I think it's like most people's story, it was either a family member. But my mum, being a massive Elvis Presley fan all of her life, she would always play Elvis music around the house when I was growing up. And I remember specifically when I was 4 years old, she had the Elvis from Aloha special on the TV, and I just saw this God-looking man just the most amazing looking man I've ever seen. Just I was able to get like a charisma come through the TV like I've never sort of witnessed with any other entertainer. I think that's what makes Elvis so appealing to so many people. He just had this charisma, and he could just connect through a TV or radio, no matter what it was. But I remember seeing it, and I picked up the nearest TV remote controller. I don't know what you guys call it, remote controller. Do you say that in the
remote
States?
Yeah,
right. But I was trying to mimic everything he was doing, the dance moves, the lip, the way his hair was. And then that next Christmas, I actually wrote to Santa, and I said, I want an Elvis Presley jumpsuit. And luckily, Santa and the elves came through, and I got my Elvis Presley jumpsuit. I entered the school talent show at 4 years old. All of my friends were dancing to Gangnam Style or trying to play the drums or singing. I dressed up in a jumpsuit singing Burning Love, and I given up scars to the old ladies and giving them kisses on the cheek. So I've never looked back since, but I'm absolutely loving where this journey's taken me, and Elvis has made me meet so many amazing people along the way as well.
Well, you know, I used to like you, Emilio, until I realized that you were 4 years old in the year 2004.
Yeah.
If I'm having this great, oh my gosh.
I was 2 years old in 2004.
Okay. Oh my gosh. And I saw Elvis in 1977, so there you go.
And what were the dinosaurs like back then?
Yeah, exactly. The T-Rexes were a mess. I had to run from them. But that is so great. And so you were kissing the women way back then like you do now. You don't give out scars because you do the 50s act, but I love your bit. I don't give out scars, but I give out kisses. That was a great line.
Exactly. You have to give out something. So I think plenty of kisses will do.
So when did you first learn about the tribute artist world, that it was an actual community out there?
Yeah. So I would always go to my local theater from the age of about 5 years old then. And I remember the first Elvis tribute I saw was, I'm sure you guys know him and love him, a guy called Mario Combo.
Oh, yeah.
Mario's great. He's a great, great friend of mine now. But he was the first ETI I saw, and he came out and did a meet and greet after the show. And he saw me dressed up in my gold LeMay jacket I had made for me by my auntie. And he just made such a fuss of me. And it just made me want to sort of be a part of that and just want to sort of be on the stage, sing these songs. So then I then was going to all these theater shows, and then I heard about the festivals until I was about 13. So there was a long break before I actually realized that there was a whole community out there for the Elvis festivals. I attended the Porthcawl Elvis Festival when I was 13 in 2016. I sung a few songs there, and then just ever since then, it's just gone absolutely crazy. I've started finding about all the UK Elvis festivals, and then I was on Facebook then, and then I was finding about people like Alex Mitchell, Cody Dayanath, all these great ETAs overseas, and then I've seen so many amazing festivals, and it's just crazy how quickly it's gone now. I feel like an old-timer in the business.
I know, you've been doing it for a long time. Mario, by the way, those of you who have not met Mario, what I've said about Mario in the past is, if you don't like him, you just don't like people. He's such a great guy,
And so talented,
and a great representative for our community too. And it's funny, in 2011 was when I first donned the sideburns, as I like to say, and that was about the time we had our ETA British Invasion. Chris Connor, right. Pete Storm, Ben was coming over, all these, and all of a sudden the industry just changed because y'all take it so serious over there as far as the detail.
Yeah.
And over here we kind of bring our own little flavor and version to the Elvis thing, but in the guys coming over from England, man, it was he put his finger this way, he held his hand this way, and what is the ETA community like in England?
Yeah, so that's a conversation I love having, but whenever I come over to the States, I know I spoke about this situation with Cody a few times as well. It's so different. It's actually amazing being able to go around the world and see the differences with the Elvis fans, how they react to songs. When I first went over to the States, I was so nervous because Ben was telling me that they are a very different crowd and they'll probably be screaming for you a lot more. They'll be like sort of getting involved a lot more, which I've noticed with you guys, and I absolutely love it because I just bounce off the energy from the crowd. But back at home, with regarding towards the authenticity, there's definitely like a more cry for being an authentic Elvis tribute act rather than doing your own style of your Elvis tribute act. However, I think personally, for my tribute to Elvis, I just like to have the perfect sort of mixture. I always try to stay as authentic as I can. I always like to say if it's a song like Hound Dog or a song like, Ready Teddy, where there's professional recordings and famous recordings, whereas the Ed Sullivan or the Milton Berle, I'll always try to recreate that as best as I can. However, like if it's certain other songs, I always try to add little bits of myself in whilst having the Elvis flavor to it as well. But I think it's all about getting the perfect balance. But I think the Elvis fans back over here and at home in the UK definitely appreciate the authenticity. And some of the guys in America, they realize that when they come over to the States, and then they do change their way that they pay the tribute to Elvis. And I think every time that Cody's come over, every time Dean's come over, Bill's come over, they absolutely love these guys and they appreciate what they do for Elvis's name. And so, yeah, it's just amazing, really.
So, Emilio, did you notice a major difference when the movie came out?
It's massively, massively. I'm not too sure what it was like in the States, but back at home, it's gone crazy. Like, it was quite sad for a while, to be honest, because it was always me and a good friend of mine, Aaron Walker. We were the only young guys really coming up in the business back at home here in the UK. And it was just us two for a while. And then ever since the Elvis movie came out, honestly, there's like five or six young Elvis tributes that's just come out from nowhere. All either my age or even younger, like this 10-year-olds, 11-year-olds, 12-year-olds, all wanting to pay tribute to Elvis and listen to Elvis music. And even in the shows as well, when I'm doing my theater tour back at here, the crowd is, the average age has gone down from 80 to, I think, 75.
Yeah, right.
But no, seriously, it's gone down drastically. Like, the young crowd is like a full circle moment for me, seeing like 4-year-olds in the Elvis jumpsuits, because I just remember that used to be me.
Yeah.
But whenever I see the young Elvis fans in the crowd, I always try and make a fuss of them and try to get them up on stage, because I think it's important we encourage them. And that's what I learned from Mary. Like, if Mary didn't sort of encourage me to keep on listening to Elvis, keep on singing the songs, I don't know if I would be here now. So I think it's important to encourage the youth, and the Elvis movie was definitely a big factor in that.
It's funny, because when Tom and I interviewed Jerry Schilling, he had the great line where he said, just get him to Elvis, Elvis will take care of the rest, right?
Yep.
And, you know, in Helen, we had this, I don't know, there's that little row where you're doing the daytime shows of the younger girls and guys. They got to Elvis from the movie, and now they're obsessed with actually Elvis, and they knew every word, every lyric. It was fascinating, but that's what happens. And really, it's no different than when I was a kid and I first heard Elvis. The music is timeless. And one of the many great things about Elvis is he gave us so many different versions of himself, you know, mm-hmm. which leads me to this question. Do you see yourself evolving or changing into the progression of doing like 68 and 70s Elvis eventually, or do you just like that era that you're primarily doing now so well?
Yeah, so at the minute, I'm definitely, my main priority is trying to get the 50 stuff to the best of my ability. I want to try sort of, because I mean, there's so many great ETAs out there, but the majority of the ETAs are always paying tribute to the late years of Elvis in the Vegas years, the concert years, whereas there's not so many of the young guys that's paying tribute to the 50s. So I think my main goal is to sort of help people remember how cool Elvis was in the 50s, and how many, there's so many great songs in the 50s, the early 60s, and I'm trying to pay tribute to that. But I've started doing the 68 in this last year. I'm still trying to get used to it, because it's such a difference.
Yeah.
It's crazy that just even from the late 50s to the like 68, like, it's such a difference in Elvis's look, the way he styles his hair, the way he moves. It's not all in the hips anymore. It's more sort of up. He's using the shoulders a lot more, the way he's bouncing around. And it's just so cool. But I think I'm definitely taking my time with it. I won't be doing the jumpsuits anytime soon.
Yeah.
I always like to say I'm going to look at doing the 69, the 70s Elvis when I'm going to probably be 30. So 8 years time, that's when I'll start looking at it. I don't want to do everything now and have nothing to look forward to.
Well, you also do a great tribute to like Elvis in 1960 to 62. I love that little range that you do as well. That's really cool.
That's my favorite era of Elvis. The Elvis Is Back album, the Potluck, all those great albums, that just early 60s, so many great songs, that I Got Lucky album, just so many great songs that you don't get to hear often. But just that whole gentleness in Elvis's voice, he could be so powerful, but he's just found such a gentle tone to his voice in that time period. And I just love trying to recreate that as much as I can.
And then even though Moses did If I Can Dream in the finals, theoretically the top five this year in the ultimate were 50s guys, and I'd never seen that before.
That was just, I worked out actually that the average age of the top five, I think, was 25 years old.
Wow.
So that just shows that Elvis is just, he's living on forever. I mean, like, there's no way that people can't tell me that Elvis isn't as big as he's ever been, because just seeing the young fans that have come to shows and just how some of the top guys in the world are around my age now is just amazing. And, but to have like two other 50s guys on the stage with me, that was a powerful moment for sure. The 50s guys are coming for the 70s guys.
That's right. And thank God for Baz. I call him Baz because I talked to him one time. But you know, we got this documentary coming up. We're going to probably have the extended version of the movie coming out soon. You know, there's so many exciting things. And Angie at Graceland, you know, the curator there, she's so amazing. Every time you go to Graceland now, it even looks different. You can, you know, they have different exhibits and stuff. So I agree. I mean, this was something that you think, well, you know, if you 10, 12 years ago, I thought, well, this might have another 5, 6 years in it. And we're not even, it feels like we're not even started.
Yeah.
You know, it's great.
Yeah. I think that when we go into the ultimate, they get us to answer a few questions, and they said, if you have one word to describe Elvis, what would it be? And I'm pretty sure I put something like infinite or eternal. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the best way to describe Elvis. No matter how many years go by, Elvis is always here, and he's always on top of the charts, on top of like any records. And it's just that always Elvis is always there, and I think he always will be.
And everywhere, like today, I went to a kind of an antique store doing a little Christmas shopping, and I just saw, you know, an Elvis mug and an Elvis poster and an Elvis. You know, everywhere you go, there's an Elvis something. You know, Elvis is everywhere, right?
I don't know if you get H&M in the States, but we've got this shop called H&M.
Yeah.
And I was looking around, and then all of a sudden I see Elvis's face on this blue T-shirt. I was like, and H&M's just like a casual store. Like, it would just have non-branded shirts or trousers or anything, just some casual clothes, like a TJ Maxx or something like that. So I was walking around, and I saw this Elvis T-shirt. I was like, oh, no way. So I picked it up, and it was a woman's shirt. So hopefully my mum's not listening to this, and it's before Christmas, but I got it for my mum for Christmas. And whilst I was looking at it, I realized at the bottom it said Elvis Presley, Blue Moon. I was like, no way. What's the chances of that?
And ever since, and by the way, we'll hold off until after Christmas before we release this, just for that reason. So funny. Ever since you won that, you see the Blue Moon neon lights and the Blue Moon beer signs and everything everywhere. We just started seeing it everywhere. It was so funny.
Oh, it's been haunting me ever since, that's for sure. It just seemed like that whole month after winning the Ultimate, no matter where I went, I was just noticing some Blue Moon. And even 2 days after I won the Ultimate, all my friends in the States were messaging me the news saying that there's a super blue moon in the sky, which is literally appearing in a few days after I won it. I was like, there's just... If that's not a sign, I don't know what is. But right. It's crazy.
So what crazy. Is, when was the first time you came with the, visited the United States? Was it to do an Elvis event?
So the first time I visited the United States, I wasn't an Elvis tribute, but it was during Elvis week. I think it was the year before I started my Elvis tribute. So I think that definitely sparked the interest as well to become an Elvis tribute, seeing all these top guys. But I remember going to the New Daisy Theater. I watched Cody Ray Slaughter, Dean Z, and Sean Clash.
Wow.
And I mean, they're three of the top guys. Like, that's a great show in itself. Yeah. So I mean, seeing those guys definitely inspired me to try get up on the stage, but I wouldn't have been able to get up on the stage then. I was so nervous. My mum literally had to sort of give me the little nudge to get up on the stage because she knew I wanted to do it. But that was the first time I went to the States as an Elvis fan, which I thought was pretty cool. I was going as a fan first, and then the next time I went was as a tribute. So then the next time I went was in 2019. I would have been 14 or no, I would have been 15. So I entered the Images of the King non-pro, and I ended up winning that. And that's sort of where I started to meet a lot of people. I think that's when I first met Alex, when I first met Cody Dayanath. And it's crazy how it's just flown by. But then I went to the summer festival with ETA Festivals. That's the first time I was booked for a show out there. And it's just crazy how quick it's gone. I've just so many memories that I just wish I could fit into all of this time that we've got now.
I know. Well, I tell you what, man, you've earned it. And you're such, like I said, I knew you'd be a great representative for us as a community. So tell me the weirdest, most bizarre story and experience you've had as a tribute artist.
To be honest, I mean, you get a few of the normal ones where you're getting the pants chucked at you and everything. But I mean, I've had the underwear, should I say? I mean, so I've had like ones where ladies have chucked their underwear at me and they've got their printed face actually on the middle of the underwear. So I never keep them because that would just be strange. But it was funny when I was first starting out. I was 14 years old and I was in a care home. Every now and again, I still do the care home shows. It's amazing doing those shows. These people with dementia, they don't remember their own family, sadly. But as soon as you start singing these Elvis songs, they just seem to know all the words, and it just shows like the music therapy. But I was 14 years old. I went to this care home, and I was still nervous doing my first shows and everything. But when I was singing these songs, and then all of a sudden, I saw these old ladies, they're like giggling to themselves. And I saw them, I was singing Return to Sender. All of a sudden, they pull out this massive bra and this like these big old parachute underwear. And they were then chucking them at me. And then they were trying to put them in my pocket and everything. And I didn't know what to do at that point. So I was going all bright red. But that was one of my funny experiences.
Oh, that's great. Well, tell us, we talked before we started recording I'd mentioned, have you ever played the Cavern Club? Tell us about what you told me that you and Ben are doing. I think this is really cool.
Yeah, so this is probably one of the shows that I've always wanted to do. And I was lucky enough, John Keats, the guy who runs the Cavern Club in Liverpool, he contacted me saying that I can't remember exactly how many years. It's been a milestone since Elvis and the Beatles first met, something like 60-odd years or something like that. And they wanted to pay tribute to that at the Beatles Week. So every August, just like we have Elvis Week in Memphis, in Liverpool, we have Beatles Week. So fans from all over the world come to Liverpool to celebrate the Beatles. And John messaged me and he said, look, I've got this idea about bringing Elvis and the Beatles together. So I would want you to do like a young Elvis, a 68 Elvis, and a Elvis in the jumpsuits. So I said, I know the perfect guy for that. So I contacted my friend Ben Thompson. And Ben's a big Beatles fan like me. Everyone in England, we just love the Beatles. They're our Elvis, basically. So he was so up for this. And then we've come up with the idea now that it's going to be the Beatles through the years and Elvis. So we're calling it the Beatles versus Elvis or whatever they're calling it. But that's going to be actually in the Cavern Club. So to perform in the famous Cavern Club, singing the Elvis songs with like a Beatles band. And it's just going to be, it's going to be a magical moment. And I'm as a Beatles fan and an Elvis fan, what dreams are made of.
Yeah. And for those that don't know, the Cavern Club is where the Beatles got their start. It's where they played.
That's right.
And it's just, that's one of my, bucket list items is to see the Cavern Club. And, you know, Dean Z and I have talked about doing, you know, something there when we come over there at some point, you know, but,
get on over.
I know it'd be just amazing. And you've known Ben, how long have you known Ben?
So, it's funny. The first ever time that I did a show was with a local Elvis tribute act. He would always get me to come up and sing five songs. And this is before I knew anyone really. So I asked his wife who's his favorite. No, she asked me who my favorite Elvis tribute was. I can't remember who I said at the time. But I remember I asked her then, and she said that her favorite Elvis tribute was Ben Thompson. And I didn't know Ben at the time, so I went home. I was searching up on YouTube Ben Thompson. I was like, oh, wow, this guy's great. So then literally a few months later, I met Ben at one of the shows, and he did a meet and greet after, and I remember I was so nervous around him. I was so nervous. I was shaking. It was funny looking back at it now. Like, you'll call me all names under the sun now.
Right.
I think I was 15 years old when I first met Ben, and he just gave me some of the best advice, like we were speaking about earlier. He gave me some of the best advice, and I still remember it to this day. He said, make sure you don't rush it now, because if you do all the eras now, you've got nothing else to look forward to in the later life. So I think that's what I've always had in the back of my mind. So I think Ben's always been a great supporter to me, and he's always a guy that I've always gone to if I need any advice with anything, and he's always been sort of like a big brother to me. So I'm always very appreciative of him and his lovely wife Rianne as well.
Well, be careful, because Ben's an idiot. I can't stand him.
I can't say any bad words about Ben.
I love Ben to death. Everybody knows that. He's one of my best friends, and we hit it off from day one. And he tells a funny story about, I didn't recognize him, I think, the second time I saw him, and I just kind of blew him off at the Hard Rock or one of the after parties. I felt like such a jerk, but no, Ben is so funny and such a great talent and a great guy.
I found it funny this week, this last weekend in Georgia. I think it was the first time I've been over to one of the festivals in the States as the only Brit.
Right.
I normally have Ben there with me. And it was really funny because the whole time I was there, I just kept like sort of second guessing myself. I kept thinking that I sound so much more English than I normally do. And I couldn't get my like finger on it, what it was. And like everything I was saying, it was just sounding like so much more British than it should do. But it was because I didn't have Ben's voice in the background constantly.
That's right. Well, luckily we'll all be together here pretty soon. Coming up here, the end of January, 1st of February at Myrtle Beach.
Yes. Can't wait for that one. It'll be good. South Carolina, first time there.
Well, Myrtle Beach is just such a, you know, Myrtle Beach is the first time, it was a couple of years ago, you know, all the festivals had done well, a couple hundred people, you know, three, whatever. Myrtle Beach was the first time we walked out and we had, I don't know, 600-700 people, and it was insane. And that's kind of when this whole snowball became an avalanche, is, you know, right as the movie came out.
Right.
And it was real exciting. And so, Emilio, you're making a living now. Isn't this crazy to say this? A guy that died in 1977 is providing us. He's our boss to this day. And when the first time I worked for Elvis Presley Enterprises and I got that check, and it said Elvis Presley Enterprises on it, I've got it matted and framed in my house.
Yeah, I remember when I first got my first email come through after winning the Ultimate from Elvis Presley Enterprises, and they were giving me all the dates that they wanted me for 2025 and up to 2027.
Yeah.
I had to screenshot it. I sent it straight to my mom. I was like, can you believe this? Like, I'm still in absolute awe just that my boss is Elvis. Elvis is always my boss. He's always been our boss. But to officially be like have the show to be endorsed by Elvis Presley Enterprises now is just it's the closest thing I'm ever going to get to a thumbs up from Elvis himself. So it's a special thing for me personally.
It's fun too. I don't know how many of the people that you've met, like Linda Thompson, or people that were involved. You know, DJ Fontana, I became friends with all these different people, and you kind of. Elvis kind of becomes a real human being when you talk to them and you hear the little kind of, you know, stories of just being a fly on the wall there kind of stories. I love those stories. And I remember Linda saying to us that he would have loved this because he didn't know isn't this crazy to think about? He didn't know if he'd be remembered or not. Isn't that crazy to think about now?
It blows my mind.
And she told me one of the coolest things, we were in Tupelo, and she goes, Elvis would have loved you and would have had you move into Graceland. You're so funny. You know, and just hearing something like that was just so crazy. But it's it's a great living. And another thing I love, when we did a show, Cody and Ben, in Norman, my hometown, Norman, Oklahoma. We did a show there. And every Friday I go to a cigar bar and hang out with some buddies of mine. And they'd never, you know, they'd seen kind of, you know, on Facebook and seen a guy before, but they didn't know what to expect. And this happens all the time. They came to that show and could not believe what they saw. Nobody gets it until you see it.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. That's what it is. I think, I mean, we all know about these Elvis purists or so-called purists, whatever we want to call them. There's a lot that don't like the Elvis tributes, and each their own. I mean, everyone's like free to have their own opinion, but I know that some of us Elvis tributes get a bad rap because they think we're trying to take the limelight away from Elvis, or they think that we're just doing it to become famous off Elvis's name. But it's never because of that. The first and foremost, people actually forget that we're just as big fans, if not we're bigger fans than a lot of these people. It's like, I mean, we know Elvis's sideburn length, like down to like in 77, we know that Elvis's sideburns aren't level on one side. It's crazy, but like we're massive Elvis fans and we're doing this for the love of Elvis. Obviously, it's our job now. And it is making our living. But at the end of the day, we're doing this because we love Elvis's music and we're trying to help carry on the legacy just that little bit. I'm sure he doesn't need much of our help anyway, but we're just trying to do what we can to keep the king of rock and roll alive.
Yeah. And what, the first time I saw an Elvis tribute artist was in 92 or 93 in Las Vegas, Trent Carlini. And it was just so cool because I got to see a 3D version of Elvis. You know, right. I saw him, like I said, in 77, and to see a jumpsuit, it was so cool. Just seeing the jumpsuit. Yeah. And that's what I was talking to, like you said, a quote unquote purist who hated the tribute artists. Now they're a big fan of us. But I told them, I said, look, go get 20 of your friends. I'll get two ETAs and we'll put $100,000 on the line and we'll do a trivia contest. You know, I mean, that's that we are fans of Elvis, and it's almost like a badge of honor to be able to go out and just represent him just for a few moments. Fans kind of get to maybe, man, this is kind of what it might have been like. Nobody can match what Elvis did. That's not what we're trying to do. We're just trying to just sing those timeless songs and just recreate the moment, you know.
I think that's definitely what I get a kick out of it. I mean, there's so many people, especially whenever I come over to the States, so many people have said, I was lucky enough to see Elvis live. And I think that's what we try to do for those people. We always try to sort of bring back that memory for them. But then people my age, we was never lucky enough to see Elvis live. And I'm so jealous whenever someone does say that they've seen Elvis live. But then I think what we then try to do for them people is just sort of help them imagine what it may have been like. Obviously, it won't be anything like what it would have been like, because it was just absolutely crazy just to be at an Elvis show. But just to give them that sort of little bit of a taste of what it might have been like. But that's what we're here for. I mean, we love Elvis's music. We love Elvis as a person. And we're just so honored to be able to go onto the stage and sing his music. So, yeah.
Well, you know, Emilio, you wouldn't know what this is like because you're not gorgeous like me. But when the women just scream and go crazy, it's just it's hard to explain the feeling of that. And I know you can't possibly fathom what that's like looking like you do.
I could never imagine. I could never imagine. But one day.
One day when you grow up, you'll be just as ugly as me. But it's so funny that's obviously for those who haven't seen Emilio. Ladies, believe me, you will look forward to that. But you handle yourself with such class. And like I said, I'm kind of a Nashville snob. I lived in Nashville 25 years. I was a session singer there, so I'm kind of a jerk and very judgmental when it comes to vocals. So I get very happy when somebody wins the ultimate or somebody pays a tribute that can actually sing, and you're a great singer.
Oh, I appreciate that, Jeff. Thank you. I must say Nashville is actually my favorite place that I've ever been in the world.
Oh, cool.
So Nashville's a very cool place. But I must say, actually, as well, whenever I'm at the gospel shows, always the highlights of the gospel shows for me personally is when you sing "He Touched Me" and you just do the most amazing version of it, and it always gives me chills. So I must give you some compliments since you're saying how beautiful I am this whole talk.
Well, thank you, and I'll pay the money right after the interview here. So we're going to wrap this up. Emilio, again, joining us live from Bristol, England. It's so cool. Yep. I wish Tom's going to be so mad he couldn't be here. He wanted to be here so bad to interview you and ask you questions. I didn't do nearly as good of a job as Tom does. That's why he's Tupelo Tom, the man. But, man, we're proud of you. We're so happy you're part of our family, Jeff Lewis and Friends and ETA Festivals and the Elvis Presley world in general. And, man, you do a fantastic job. Can't wait to see you in Myrtle Beach. And we're just going to have a lot of fun years ahead of us.
I can't wait. I appreciate you so much, man. And I must say, actually, as well, and because Tom's not here, I know that he would have said this, but me winning the Ultimate, it was like me and Tom winning the Ultimate because I was able to represent Nashville Elvis Festival as well. So that was a special thing for us both as well. So to be their first representative that's won the Ultimate, that was special. So shout out to Tom. I'm sad he couldn't make it on. But I've always wanted to do this because I'm a massive fan of the podcast.
Oh,
I love
thanks.
All of your stuff. Whenever I'm driving up and down the UK for shows, I'm always listening. Jerry Schilling's podcast was my favorite one by far so far. But I've always wanted to do this. So if you don't mind, can I sign off in style?
I'm Tupelo Tom, and I'm Big Lou.
And I'm Emilio Blue Moose Santoro.
And we're done talking.
Well, Big Lou and Alex, I got to say congratulations on conducting a rather informational and fun interview with Mr. Santoro. That was a lot of fun.
Well, I've had a great mentor and teacher in Tom Brown, and plus Emilio's such an engaging, hilarious guy, and he made it a lot easier than it would have been otherwise. He was a fantastic interview, and again, Emilio has always been one of my favorite guys, and like we talked about, when he went into Blue Moon, which I'm not a fan of that song anyway, I just thought, oh no, what are you thinking? You just blew it. And then you could have heard a pin drop, and he earned it. I mean, he was so fantastic.
One of the great, lay it all on the table and bet on win, you know, yep. I mean, just saying, you know what, I'm going to do this. And to me, it blew up the concept of preparing too much to go to something like that, to prepare in ahead of time, to be in the mental space, but they have to make those song choices. And Alex, you know more about this than me. You guys make the song choices on the fly because you make it to another round. You got to pick another set of songs, and this other guy may have had it already, and you got to do another thing. I always said, as a joke, I said I would just learn the entire soundtrack of Girl Happy and be pretty assured that nobody was going to pick any of my songs.
Right. You know, and there were 350s guys in the top five, which is very unusual. And that blew that kind of concept where it has to be a jumpsuit. And it also proved that if you're great at your craft,
yeah,
you're going to be in the ballpark. And hopefully a lot of judges really will kind of get out of the mindset of you have to do this song, you have to do this song, and just listen to how close is the tribute to Elvis. And no matter what song it is, that's what I hope this proves in the future. So,
well, I watch these home improvement. I watch Hometown by the couple from Mississippi, obviously, because they both went to Ole Miss, so it's mandatory. And one of the things I'm always seeing when I watch these home renovation shows is people come in and they look at a house and they go, "Oh, I don't like the color. I don't like this. Let's just get out." Well, you understand, when you're looking at a house, you're looking at the bones of the house. You can change right. a lot of things. When you're judging in an ETA competition, you're judging the talent of the person. And even though you think they should have done Suspicious Minds, do you realize they couldn't because that song was performed yesterday by someone else?
Right.
So they have to. So it's a lot of judging of what you're seeing with the material they're singing. And it was an Elvis song. So judge that, not the choices that were made to get there. And I, Jeff, as a singer, you can probably talk about this. On a song like Blue Moon, on a song like Suspicious Minds, you'd jump all over the place and wave your hand and get down in the split and rip your pants and whatever. On Blue Moon, there's nowhere to hide.
That's right.
You are standing at the microphone. And when I went back and watched the replay of him singing Blue Moon, when he just did a little lean out from behind the microphone, like a minute and a half in the song, it was the only physical move he made. It was like, oh my God, that was amazing.
Yeah, it was powerful.
There's nowhere to hide on a song like that. That's when you're a singer, and that's when you're a performer, and that's when you're an entertainer.
That's right. What a great representative for our business. I love it. And congratulations, Emilio.
Very happy for him. And just as a nice little segue, the Nashville Elvis Festival coming up March 13th through the 16th. Details at NashvilleElvisFestival.com. Emilio will be there not only representing last year's returning Nashville champion, but he will be bringing the ultimate performance. You get two in one with Emilio. You get Nashville's champion and the ultimate champion. We're going to have Dean Z is going to be there. Ben Thompson's going to be there. Cody Daneth will be there. Also, the Diogo Light, who hasn't been seen around these parts in a while. We're very happy to have Diogo with us in Nashville. Alex Mitchell, I believe you're going to be there, my friend. I'm so excited.
Yes, I will be there. I'm so excited. And that Sunday is my birthday. So I'm very excited
about that.
Oh, you have made a big mistake in telling us that, Alex. And so in addition to Alex being with us, Michael Culfer is going to be on hand for Nashville. Chris Patti is going to come out from behind the keyboards with the Infinity Band and going to do a little tribute to Sinatra. We have kind of a fun all-star show of some people bringing some alter egos on stage. Alex may or may not have a microphone like Garth Brooks. I don't know. That's possible. Jeff Lewis is going to be there for our after parties at the wonderful hotel, the Spring Hill Suites right there in Franklin. And Jillian Cartarelli will be on hand, who has been our guest before. Larry Strickland is bringing us some gospel music on Sunday morning from the Stamps. And of course, we couldn't do it without the Infinity Band, Radney and the gang of people from the Infinity Band. And we've kind of switched things up this year. So, pay attention to the schedule. Our finals will be on Sunday night now. They traditionally had been on Saturday night, but now we're going to have the finals on Sunday night so we can kind of just have fun all weekend. And Dean Z is going to be our headline show on Saturday night. So we got a lot of stuff planned for Nashville on March 13th and 16th. But coming up a little sooner than that, we're all getting ready right now as we record this to head to Alex's house. We're all staying at Alex's house.
Oh, yeah. The Myrtle Beach Elvis Festival. Yeah.
Tell us about that, Alex.
It is January 31st through the February 2nd, and it's the Greg Rolls Theater, who's our presenting sponsor, as well as the venue. It's been completely renovated. It used to be the Eddie Miles Theater, and it's the last place that J.D. Sumner performed.
Wow.
So little Elvis connection there already. So we're really excited about that.
That's incredible. And I love being in a real theater, you know, like a theater with theater seating and that kind of stuff. I love all the venues. It's always fun. The venues bring their own energy to an event. And it's fun to be in Myrtle Beach because you guys in Myrtle Beach have a lot of theaters and a lot of performances. So you get a lot of people from all over in Myrtle Beach.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think you had snow recently, too, didn't you?
Oh, my gosh. Yes. So I got home from Pigeon Forge and it was snowing there. And we came home and we started snowing on the way home, and it snowed for like 2 days, and we had to go to Florida for a show down there with Cody Dayaneth for Habitat for Humanity. And we got back and there's still snow and ice in the ground. It's slowly melting. So by the time everybody gets here for the Elvis Festival, it'll be fine. Nobody needs to freak out because it shuts down here when this happens.
Yeah.
There's no bread or milk left. I don't understand the appeal of bread and milk sandwiches, but that's what people do, I assume, with all that bread and milk.
Well, you know, we have quite a bit. I tell you where we will not have snow, and you can go visit etafestivals.com. We are doing a cruise March 21st through the 29th, and it'll be the first time we've done a cruise, and I don't think it'll be snowing in the Caribbean. So check that out at ETA Festivals for information. It's under the tab. I believe it's Elvis. Well, probably just says cruise. ETA Festivals Cruise. Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So hopefully you can make it to that as well. We got a lot of fun coming up.
I gotta get back to Tupelo after Nashville, do the laundry, and then head down to Florida. A lot of us have quick turnarounds leaving Nashville and heading down to Florida. So looking forward to that. And I might be able to squeeze a visit to the Space Center in there.
That'd be great. One last thing on my end, Tom. You and I got to hang out for a little while last weekend. We came to Tupelo just to relax and visit with Charlie Watson and Peggy Watson. And we just had an absolute great time. And it was nice that I believe it was Saturday, wasn't it? Me, you, and Debbie, and Trish, and Steve, and Jeannie, and Faye, and Lisa. Charlie, and Peggy, and we all just got to relax and hang out together. We didn't have any work to do, and ordered some pizzas, and it was just great. I love it when I get back to Tupelo.
It's fun to be in the Silver Moon when you're the only people in the Silver Moon.
It is.
I was a little upset though, cause I have a key and door was already unlocked when I got there. So I was really wanting to show out for everybody. So I went around the building and locked everybody inside. It was great. Oh, and we also got to talk about the wrestling history of that building back in Tupelo in the '70s, when I used to go to wrestling matches there and see my heroes, Jackie Fargo among them, at the Silver Moon. So it's a lot of history at that place, and we invite you, if you come to town for the Tupelo Elvis Festival, be sure to always visit the Silver Moon for the after party, because that's when the fun starts.
That's right.
Late at night, you know? So you know what, guys? We're back in 2025. Want to say safe travels to everybody going to any festivals or anywhere your little vehicle takes you. Be safe out there. For some reason on TikTok, I don't know, TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, I must have watched too many car crash videos, like dash cam videos, because they're popping up now. And I try not to watch them because I want to cycle that out of my viewing. But for somebody who drives everywhere, don't watch those videos, man.
No.
It's just like, oh my gosh, it's just the last thing you want to see.
And don't ride with Steve Lambeth, public service announcement. He's basically the bandit meets Dale Earnhardt. No, I'm just kidding. Just
Rubbin's
kidding.
Racing.
That's right. I'm the worst passenger in the world. Steve's really not that bad of a driver. I'm just a horrible passenger.
Yeah, well, that's true too.
Yeah.
And you know what? You made it back to Norman. So
right.
Everybody, thanks for listening. We promise not to be gone so long next time, but be sure to go back and listen to some of the previous podcasts. There's some great material in there, some wonderful interviews. Jerry Schilling among them being our first interview that we did, and we've talked to some great people, and we got some wonderful plans for 2025. Yes. So everybody, just be safe, and we'll see you down the road somewhere.
Happy 2025, everyone. Glad it's a new year.
They got it. Alex, congratulations on your win. You can enjoy the rest of 2025 before Elvis Week now in August.
Thank you. What a relief.
What a relief. Yeah, I bet. All right. I'm Tupelo Tom.
And I'm Big Lou.
And we're done talking.